This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Brisbane and Australian-based Local Legends in Running podcast. My name is Ollie Jones and I'm the host of the show and the founder of the Local Legends in Running brand, including online running coaching services. This podcast primarily involves a one-on-one conversation format with Australian and global elite and amateur runners, coaches, exercise scientists, and event directors, where you hear insights, opinions, and stories you'd otherwise struggle to find scrolling online. Today on Season 4, Episode 98, I invite back to the show Brisbane Athletics founder and coach, Jaden Russ. Almost 3.5 years ago, Jaden featured on this show, episode number 11, in June 2022. At the time, we spoke about Brisbane Athletics, of course, had been around for a while prior to that conversation, and also about Jaden's history as a coach and an athlete. Today, we continue talking about Brisbane Athletics. A lot has happened over that period, but also some news, some running news about the World Athletics Cross Country Championships. That's happened this weekend, Friday. We speak on a Sunday today, Jaden and I. We also talk about the Valencia Marathon coming up, a number of Aussies heading over to that event, and what an amazing event it has been for a while now. I get on to talking about Zatopek, Raina McSwain, O'Donnell, Adam Goddard will be there. I've heard this from Tim Crosby. He's going to share those lists, the director, in the next few days. And on the ladies' side, Lauren Ryan, Pompiani, and Georgia Grek too will feature in the Zatopek, happening only within the next few weeks as well. We finish by talking about the future of Brisbane Athletics and where Jaden sees the brand moving forward. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Welcome back to the Local Legends in Running podcast, Jaden Russ.
Ollie, thanks for having me, mate.
Excellent. Hey, you're on the show 3.5 years ago, pretty much, back in 2022, June of 22, the founding year of the show. And at that point, we spoke all things Brisbane Athletics. You're the coach and founder of that group, of course, in Brisbane. I think you've been around for a number of years prior to that conversation. It was great to catch you back then. I guess we've also got to know each other a bit through the GPS athletics and cross-country system here in Brisbane as well, Jaden. So welcome back.
No, thanks, Ollie. Obviously, yeah, that was 3 years ago now and time's flown since then. I don't know what episode number you're up to now, mate, but you've been rattling along. And yeah, it's thankful that you've asked me to come back on here and talk all things running and yeah, a little bit about what we've been doing in the meantime.
Well, the great thing is if I ever run out of guests, I can just invite the guests back. So here we are. Not that that is a compliment to you in some capacity, but anyway, I'm looking forward to this. I really am. We've had a few things going on yourself over at the World Athletics Cross Country Championships, I guess down in Stromlo, Canberra. It's been there for a while now. But of course, being coach, you were there with some athletes, but also privy to seeing the open athletes too. It's an 8K for the boys and six for the ladies, isn't it? Or girls under 18 or 20. And
So
the
under
opens,
20
of course,
races.
10, 10K. So how's your experience there?
Yeah, look, it was fantastic. It's a very quick afternoon down there at Stromlo. It's a bit of a tricky event, I guess, to put on the calendar, with World Champs being January 10th in Florida. I guess the argument is, do you use the national championships back in August? But you've also got a lot of distance runners overseas in the open ranks at that point, and it gets tricky with the juniors and the age groups they need to be competing in. So, yeah, so they obviously landed on a bit of a twilight meet down at Stromlo, which is God's country for a distance runner. It's such an
Oh, yeah.
amazing facility, and every time you go down there, I remember saying to a few of the guys on Friday, I don't think I could live in Canberra, but damn, this would be a pretty good place to train every week. So yeah, look, it was a fantastic race. Probably highlight was that open men's race and the quality up the front with Seth looking to push for the win and ultimately Cam Myers at 19, predominantly known as a miler, coming over the top late, which just is a credit to his class as a runner and the ultimate professional. But it was, yeah, super exciting for the younger guys to see that, and Leanne Pompeani on the women's side being quite dominant in victory, and some great racing in the juniors. Obviously on the junior, on the girls side, Queensland were amazing. They were dominant one through five, with the Queensland girls, which was, yeah, was pretty cool to see. And those girls obviously know each other really well and race each other. And then on the boys' side, which was obviously where I had my vested interest as a coach, I had four boys compete, and ultimately Lachie Moore finishing third, which was super exciting, following in the footsteps of his brother who ran in Serbia at the last World Cross Country Champs.
That's right, yeah.
So yeah, cool for him to get his first opportunity at that level of competition in 5 weeks' time. So yeah, no, it was really cool. It's a challenge for the juniors in that most of them are stepping up and running either 8 or 6K for the first time, some of the younger ones. But yeah, they all handle it pretty well, and onwards to Tallahassee in 5 weeks' time.
Yeah, it's certainly hard to time this event, isn't it? To get all the athletes, well, as many athletes as you can to the event. Of course, there's a number of omissions to this one, even like your big dogs, like your Buchanans, your Robinsons, they're not there. Valencia's coming up too, isn't it? It takes away tour capacity. The women's probably more so too, because Pompeani, Campbell, and Oates were pretty far apart, really, like a sort of a minute almost between each of them. So, yeah, a number of higher end athletes away from that event.
Yeah, it's tough. I guess you look at your, particularly for the senior athletes, they look at their calendar every year and have certain priorities. And with the track season being that much longer this year, with Worlds in Tokyo being in September, and a lot of them having started their domestic season, January this year, it's hard to cycle through and peak again, and you just can't do everything. So, and you throw in some road races for these longer distance athletes and marathon preps, and yeah, unfortunately, it's hard to get our full strength open teams qualified for these races. You mentioned someone like a Kai Robinson, right? It'd be fantastic to have him and a or a Pat Tiernan, who he's historically been very strong on the grass. These guys involved with the Australian team, but not to be this year. And I guess the flip side of that is it gives an opportunity for someone else to represent Australia, and who are all, all really, really good runners in their own right, and that might be the little thing that pushes them forward to further teams down the line.
Yeah, I was just going to say here with cross country in general, Jaden, because it's large in high school. Like cross country is an event that's run every year, particularly more so through winter for the competitions. But what athletes do you find thrive more in cross country compared to, say, on the roads or the track?
Obviously, you've got to be a pretty tough, resilient athlete. Like it's, you well, pending the course that they throw out. I mean, a lot of cross country courses now, some of these ones you see in the States that are on golf courses, and the grass is immaculate. It allows those more track guys and miler 3K guys to be competitive over 10K. But having said that, you look at some of the races this year and over in the States in the snow and rolling hills and some tough conditions. So I think it obviously throws up another variable for those athletes. But yeah, generally, the ones that are pretty durable, obviously aerobically strong, They tend to go quite well on the grass, and it's a different surface too. Obviously, the track you don't get the same feedback. You've got to work a little bit harder, and different athletes respond to that differently, and it's quite interesting to see. And sometimes it doesn't quite make sense. There's no one certain athlete. Sometimes different guys surprise you. So, but I just love that it throws up different variables. It gives people a chance to achieve something that they may not do on the track comparatively. So.
Yeah, definitely. As you probably know, Jayden, like the running scene has absolutely boomed, but mainly on the roads. Like, what is keeping athletes away from cross country in your mind? More so open, I guess.
Yeah, look, opportunity and the pathway, money. I mean, you look at it now, there's so much money on the roads. If you're a big time marathon runner and you're preparing for that, you may throw in a couple of 10Ks, a half marathon here and there where there's prize money, potential appearance money, sponsorship opportunity. Your shoe company that you may be with is probably going to prefer you to see you in that environment than a cross country race. And there just really isn't, you even look on a local scale outside of Victoria, who has a thriving club cross country scene that's quite historic. I mean, I can only really speak for Queensland. It struggles to get the numbers on the ground with and the juniors are majorly doing this through the school pathway. So yeah, it's a little disappointing because when we do have everyone turn up, it's pretty good theatre.
Oh, yeah.
And if you've been to a World Cross Country Championships and obviously the recent 2023 in Bathurst was amazing. The backdrop of Mount Panorama, a storm rolling in, some of the best runners from around the world competing over that terrain. It's special to see. It's exciting to hear Seb Coe talking of bringing it into the Winter Olympics. But yeah, I guess you can just only squeeze so much into a calendar. And in the priority for a lot of these runners right now, it sits probably at the lower scale of importance for a lot of people.
Yeah, before we continue on anything, actually, let's get back to you. Like, you're on the show 3.5 years ago, so people have probably even forgot a bit about you, or maybe it's the first time they're tuning in to listen about Jayden Russ. Just talk to us about where you live, what sort of day-to-day, week-to-week, the BA or Brisbane Athletics job looks like, but also your work at BBC, Brisbane Boys College, as Director of Track and Field, if I've got that title correct.
Yeah,
And we have
absolutely.
some news too, I think, personal news to potentially share.
Yeah, absolutely. I better start with the most important. Life's changing for the better here. With Sammy and I have got our first kid arriving in 4.5 weeks, so we're super super excited and pumped for that little boy. Name yet to be confirmed, but look, we're super excited and June New Year's Eve, so little party boy. I'm obviously hoping for a January 1 arrival for sporting purposes. He ticks over into the new age group, so he'll be the oldest, not the youngest. Sammy would rather it just be here now. So we're really excited. So that on the personal front is a big thing for us, and we're really excited about that. Fortunately, plenty of babysitters lining up from athletes in the squads. I'm just deciding who I'd actually trust to look after that child. There's a few with a line straight through their name right away. They probably know who they are. But yeah, like we're really fortunate to have such a great support network and the community and family that we have. Beyond obviously our own family, Sammy's family's in Tasmania. My parents are here in Brisbane, and friends and brothers and whatnot. So, but yeah, the BA family as a whole have been super supportive, and they're really excited for the new squad member.
Yeah, and work-wise, you've got a pretty busy life. Like, your coaching, the BA group's really exploded over the last, well, handful of years, really, and that takes up a lot of time. But also your directing role there at BBC. Did I miss cross country as part of that? Is that a double up
Yeah,
between
so
track and
well,
field
yeah, I
cross
guess
country?
job title is Director of Athletics, but that encompasses both
Yeah.
cross country and track. So, yeah, look, I'm very fortunate. I've been at the college for 10 plus years now, have loved my time there, and we've been able to grow a great program. I think that's where coaching started for me is working in schools and building teams and communities and giving opportunities to kids within a sport. Within that GPS setting, to thrive, and So that's where I guess probably my coaching was really born from, and we've had some great teams over the years and gotten to work with some great athletes. So yeah, very fortunate to be a part of that that environment. And then obviously with Brisbane Athletics, again, we've been around for 10 plus years now. And yeah, look, they're a great group. We have a junior and a senior group, and look, I'm very lucky to have gotten to work with some great athletes and families. And it's like I used the word before, it's a community, a team, a family of people. And I love who we are and what we stand for. And kids from kids that are joining our group to working towards making their school team or making their first regional team, to athletes that are winning national titles. We had our first athlete compete at the Open World Championships this year in Tokyo. It covers a broad group of people, and really, really enjoying it. And I don't think a lot has changed in the 3 years we've spoken about who we are or how we operate. You just see a cycle of different people come through, in that a big pathway for us is the college pathway as well. And we've had 20 plus athletes head over there, and I guess that's another cap that I wear now, and have started a business there called Athlete Nexus, and I'm working now with athletes beyond just our squad to support them to get to college. I was fortunate enough to do it myself, and I've had so many athletes, boys and girls, thriving over there and enjoying that experience. So, yeah, plenty of caps to wear, mate. And but look, I love it. It's dynamic. It keeps you. Like, I always want to be challenged in different ways. How that's all going to work with a little baby here in
That
5 weeks,
was my
mate.
next question.
I might be asking for some tips. But look, I know that Sammy and the little boy will be priority one. And you adapt, and you put good people around you to help you. And I think if you surround yourself with the right people, it will work. What it looks like right now, I can't tell you. But yeah, no, there's a good harmony of things going on at the moment.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in detail at Brisbane Athletics. I'm looking forward to diving into a bit more, I guess, specificity and also around those athletes who have gone to college that you are coaching or maybe in the past too. But it's another coach that comes to mind too that's, I guess, really contributing to the scene for children and athletics is Nick Toohey. He's also expecting a baby, more north side orientated out of Nudgee College himself. But I often talk about you guys. I'll get back to you, Jaden. This is about you, but you guys, in the sense that you're doing so much for that younger generation coming through. And years ago, there didn't used to be many coaches doing this at all. And the probably the most scary thing is when athletes that I know, adults, that head out to open track events like QA meets and stuff, who are half decent, I always warn them about, hey, watch out for these BA athletes in white and green. They'll be coming your way. So much depth coming out of there. But let's get back to you again. You mentioned that American time. You were in college there years ago as an athlete. But what your sort of running background look like from years ago, I guess, from that latter stage of high school into the Opens?
Look, it's going way back now. Reflecting back on it, I guess running was a big part of my sporting journey through high school, and was fortunate to have a fair bit of success. And it took me, like all these kids across the different junior meets throughout Australia in cross country on the track, and ultimately that led to I raced at a World Juniors on the track, and then got an opportunity to go to America and attend Iowa State University. And look, I'm just very fortunate for the experiences that the sport gave me. It's ultimately led me to where I am coaching now, which I think was my calling, to be able to help other people with their running. But yeah, it was awesome. I'm very thankful. My parents gave me every opportunity, same as I had three brothers. We played lots of different sports, which I think I'm really thankful for that, and a great experience. And look, I probably bounced between different sports. Running was always number one, but had opportunities in other areas. And if you have a crystal ball and go back, would I have done things differently? Maybe. But they're the things I've learned, and I look at how we trained. I look at how we lived. I look at what we knew back then. It's just, what these kids have and what they're exposed to and how they train. It's it's very different now. Packaging that up with my coaching now, I try and take bits from everything. What my coach gave me in high school, he made me feel like I was bulletproof and made me think that I could do anything. And so I try and take aspects of that, of instilling confidence in kids. I take the things I learned from college, and I take the things that I've learned from other coaches all over Australia, all over the world. Take what I've learned from other sports, working in schools and how they operate, from teachers. Anything and everything, and and yeah, so it's yeah, very lucky that I've been able to train, live, coach with so many amazing people along the journey. And you're always learning. I still don't I know there is so much more for me to learn, and the sport's always changing. And I think even you would know with your own running, and you look at what you do now running wise and training wise, and what you would have done 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We're always evolving.
Yeah, crazy. Now, remind me as well, because I've forgotten this to some capacity, but your events from the 1500 upwards, what were they and what were your times maybe
Yeah,
for
look, I
those?
ran
Excuse me.
anything from the 1500 to cross country, steeplechase. Steeple probably became a bit of an event for me. That was what I ran at World Juniors. I think 3,000 would have been that would be my best distance. Obviously, once you get out of the junior ranks, that's not something you get to really do. But mate, you're testing my knowledge now. I ran about 3:47, 8:10-ish for a 3K, 8:50 for a steeple. So I often kid with and look, I think I said this last time. There's only a few things you look back on. Well, actually, probably more than a few, but I look back at my running, and I just loved to race. That was my thing. I just loved getting on a start line and figuring out how was I going to beat other people. It was never about time. I don't recall pacemakers. I don't like it was, and that's I just love sport, right? Whether it was a game of footy or anything that I did, it was competing that I loved. So I think I left a lot of meat on the bone in terms of being able to run as fast as I could. I look back now and I was nowhere near as diligent and professional as I needed to be, but I wouldn't change anything, and got to have some amazing experiences. So now I get to coach a bunch of kids that run a lot faster than I ever did, so it's great.
Yeah, and in your coaching, like, do you directly sort of talk about your running, like, particularly going over to America? Like, do you sort of refer to that time there and as an athlete in school?
I'll reference sometimes. Look, I think it's more. Look, I hope that there's yet some respect earned, knowing that that I have run in some capacity. And but yeah, no, you reference some bits, but I think just experiences in general, right? I think it's more about my relationship with the athlete and where they're at, and teaching them. Through their challenges, and so yeah, look, at times I'm sure. G'day, buddy. How are you, mate?
Fine, thanks. Oh, he's got me a mango. Thanks, mate.
Oh, well done, well played.
I'll edit
Keep him in.
that out.
No, so look, yeah, look, I'm sure at times little bits, but not really. It's look, I'm generationally removed. It's certainly more about them and understanding who they are, and I guess how they learn things and take on information. And I think that's really important. It's more about what I can learn about them. They don't need to hear about my old races back in the day. And look, I can't really. I've got a mate that seems to be able to recall training sessions we did 20 years ago, and I'm just kind of going, oh, I guess so. I remember some of the bigger moments, but I think I've watched too many races and had too many athletes I've coached to recall any of my
Oh,
own these days.
life of a coach. Hey, before we get back to Brisbane Athletics, let's talk about some of this running news. A few events coming up, Jaden, the Valentia Marathon, excuse me again, and the Zatopek 10. They're, of course, on every year. The Zatopek for many years here in Australia. But firstly, with the Valentia, that's been an amazing marathon, particularly in the last sort of 5 years, really drawing fast athletes there, worldly and Australian wise. Like Sinead was out there a couple of years back in 21, I think she Sorry, 22. She ran a 2:21 and Andy Buchanan a 2:06 last year. It's got, of course, the flat roads, the idyllic weather. The weather's amazing almost always. So it draws huge crowds. Like we've got Gregson heading back there, both Gregsons, Robinson, Stringtos. He had an amazing year, 60.36. I think that's the second fastest Aussie male half in the country, if I've
Yeah.
got that correct. And then Bat Doyle, what a year she's had. 10K Strand record, 10K 30, 44 that was, 67 in the half also at Marugame. So that's
Maybe.
another one that is drawing the runners. And Stenson always solid, like 69 half in Lonnie. That half's become a bit bigger too, as you may know, in Launceston compared to the 10K there for years. And the 2:22 she ran in Tokyo too for Stenson. So that field's looking pretty healthy for an overseas, because we always have a scattering of Aussies across events, don't we? But to have that quality in one race is pretty cool.
Yeah, look, it's yeah, it's super exciting, and obviously Valencia coming up is such a hot spot. You know, it's not only the Aussies, it's athletes from all over the world. I'm excited to see. I think Alex Yee, the triathlete's running
Yes, yep.
the marathon. You know, seeing what he ran in his half. Yeah, look, it's super exciting. We have such depth at that kind of marathon, half marathon, 10K up really. And look, I think, you know, when you have so many athletes competing for positions and spots on teams, and that national record going down, and you throw in, you know, the training these guys are now doing, obviously the shoe tech that's evolved over recent times. Yeah, it's an exciting space, and it's the same premise I say with young athletes, with older, with professionals. I think when you have a group of people all performing, it pushes each other, and it makes you believe, well, you've got no option. It's either I do this and keep up, or I'm left behind. Whereas, you know, if you're an outlier and you're on your own, you don't have that around you, sometimes the athletes don't realize, I guess, their capacity and what they're capable of doing. So, yeah, it's super exciting. I was lucky enough, the Friday before the Gregsons took off, I jumped on the bike and did 30K with Jen in her last big session before she headed
Oh,
over to
right.
Valencia. So it was cool to see. You know, I mean, obviously I've known Jen since we were kids, but you know, both Jen and Ryan have just had amazing careers, and they're amazing people and great friends of mine. And to see how they manage their life with two young kids, I mean, you take that Friday morning as an example. You've got, how old's Archie? I think Archie's about three.
Oh,
They've got
yeah,
Frankie,
2 or 3, yeah.
sorry, Alfred, Freddie, who's, you know, only a few months old, and here they are at 6 a.m. doing a 30K marathon session. Who knows how many hours sleep you've had the night before, but coordinating their lives to still be able to do this and sharing that journey together. So I'm super pumped for Jen and Ryan to see how they go, alongside the other Aussies. And yeah, we've got a great contingent there, and hopefully we see some fast running, and maybe those national records
My
get.
next question, great segue. The men's, I guess, because Andy's 2:06 last year was it knocked off Brett Robinson's, I think 2:07, wasn't it, for the marathon. But we've now got guys like Haftu's PB. I'm not sure if that's much quicker than 2:10-ish, but like surely if you're running a 60:30 half and you're training well for a marathon, you're gonna smash 2:10. But the Queenslanders too, like how good has it been to see Tim Vincent and Liam Burden knocking the door down too, is pretty much now top 10 to 12-ish all-time marathoners for men.
Look, yeah, starting with Haftu, shout out, I've got my Villanova hat on,
Oh, yeah.
Haftu, Villanova alum. Look, I think he's just made for the roads. I just think he's going to do truly something special, whether it's now, and it happens early. You know, he's in talking to his coach, you know, like he's doing stuff in training that's pretty special. So we know it doesn't always correlate and mean that you get it right on the day. And a marathon is so many variables, and it could be going right for so long, and some things that are out of your hands at times can create some challenges. But I think he's poised for something special. So yeah, can't wait to see what Haftu does. And yeah, the Queenslanders, I think, often not considered a marathon state. Pretty hard to train up here for the marathon in our conditions, but if you can, and and then also spend some time, at altitude and around the world. It's super exciting. Liam and Tim are both such great guys, so humble, so hardworking, come from, they're both good juniors, but not superstars, and have, chipped away at it. And again, hearing some of the workouts that Liam's doing at the moment, that session I did with Ryan and Jen, Ryan was saying some of the stuff Liam's doing. It's pretty special. And Tim as well. They both ran at World Cross, so it was great to see a World Cross trial. Sorry, it was good to see them down there challenging himself in a different space and environment. I think we're going to see them, run even faster soon over their preferred distance.
Oh yeah, and they're fantastic on the road. They're very robotic-like. I can just lock
Yes.
into paces, and that group's going well too, isn't it? Largely based out of QE2 with Jan and Liam, and Jack Bruce, Callum Davies. Who else is in there? A couple guys, often pacing reps too, who aren't as fit but
Guys.
have the speed.
I think it's you've got a unique group of guys that ultimately are competing at different distances. You got marathon guys, you got
True.
1500, you got 5K guys. Obviously, Jude was there for quite some time, but has now moved down to Melbourne. But they work in really well together. Coming into this point of the season, it's like I said, it is tough. It is so hot and humid up here. You have to temper a little bit your expectations around how fast you're going to run in some of these sessions. And that's why I think you see a lot of them head down to obviously the altitude benefits of falls, but it gives you some heat relief as well. It's great, and it's good that we have a little bit of a senior presence in Queensland on the running scene now. I guess too often it's look, kids go to college, kids depart, move to Melbourne, stop running. It's great for our younger ones to be able to see what's going on at that level.
And Jane, just quickly, like out of all the events that you follow as a coach, would marathon be the least, considering it's not track or cross country?
I think that would be something I'm tuning into for just a little bit of enjoyment. It's not a space I've delved into greatly.
Yeah.
Certainly my preference is on the track and cross country. It's definitely still the heart set is there. And maybe down the line I end up coaching in the marathon space, but I'll leave that for others for now.
Yeah, not too many kids doing marathons,
No, nor
is
should they
there?
be.
Speaking of the track, that Zatopek is coming up the week after. I'm pretty sure Valencia is this weekend coming, isn't it? And Zatopek the week after. I've got inside info from Tim Crosby. I've got a connection to him, but he's the director of that event in Melbourne as well. But he's released a bit of a list to me. I'm not sure if it's gone public yet, but he was fine for me to talk about it. But on this list, we have some of the stalwarts, particularly of Zatopek, like Rainer and McSwain have been out there for years. I'm looking forward to Seth O'Donnell. He's more so, as you alluded to, I think earlier, more of a shorter track runner, 1500. He's done a few miles, 3K, a 734, 3000 he's run recently. Adam Goddard, often mix him up with Ed Goddard, just the surname, but I've written on the agenda there, A. Goddard. He's had a solid year, 28:36. Bernie 10 was probably his standout run of the year. But also in the ladies, Georgia Grex coming up the ranks, Jade, and I'm not sure if you followed her much, but she was out at Noosa Bolt the other month too in the 5K. I think she podiumed second potentially in that race. And Leanne's been solid for years, like 2 or 3 years now. And she's had a couple good half marathons out at Gold Coast, 69 low she's run and a 69 mid-ish or higher. I actually passed her embarrassingly in that half myself, running about what 8 minutes slower than her, 7 minutes. But it's good to see her, and the pack that surrounds these lead women in fun runs on the road too is pretty crazy. So yeah, she's going well. Lauren Ryan, you might know a bit about, American college runner, sort of the last what 4 or 5 years as well, so good fields.
Yeah, look, that's cool to hear. I think Zatopek, for me growing up as a young athlete here, was always such a an event on the calendar that you all aspired to be at, run at, watch, and be a part of. You obviously associate the Di Cosella and Ondieki 3Ks for the juniors, and that's so they're such big events to get to. And when you got to do that, you got to watch these 10Ks, and I can think back on some of the great nights being there as both an athlete and coach, and getting to see some of these races. And you look at that lineup this year, and if they all turn up on the start line, That'd be super exciting. It's obviously Rayner and Stewie are names that have been around for a long time now and had success over a variety of distances. And Seth's very much a guy that's burst onto the scene over the last 18 months and has a style and a flair that's a little bit different to what we're used to. And a very distinctive running style and obviously the hairdo and everything else that's going on. So I think when you throw in a mix of guys like that on the men's side, you'd like to think there's going to be some fireworks at some stage and some pretty honest pace injected into the race. And look at one of the guys you mentioned in Adam Goddard has really had a big breakout year in the track season, running some pretty quick times over 1500 and now showing his aerobic capacity at 5 and 10K on the road. So where his sweet spot is in 2026 on the roads, on the track will be exciting. Will he be running, more 15s or 5s? But these are the guys that are coming through and you're seeing this younger generation now taking on some of the names that we've gotten to know for quite a while now. So yeah, that'll be super exciting. And then yeah, the names that you mentioned on the girls' side, I think it's another quality race there. And you're getting a mixture of a marathon, a 10K versus maybe the more 5K, 10K. And I'm always interested in the tactics that play out in those races. Lauren Ryan's another one that's had a huge 12 to 18 months and set a national record, I believe. And
She won it last year or year before, didn't she?
I believe you're right. And she's currently based over with Stephen Haas and the team over there, Dark Sky. And so she's taken her running to another level over recent years. And having her back in Australia for big races like this and some of those other names that you mentioned, it's great for the sport. We need events like Zatopek to have our best runners at for it to expose our sport, and then just for the people who turn up week in, week out, and the locals that love it. We want to see the best race each other, and we're you and I are biased. We love running, but I think when the best athletes race each other, it's amazing theatre. Being in Tokyo this year and being at my first Open World Champs, just sitting there and watching those races, like that was so exciting. So yeah, hopefully we get a great night. I won't be going down this year. I'll probably have a couple of guys racing in the junior 3K, but I'll be staying at home. I don't think I can afford too many more trips away in this next 4 weeks.
Yeah, the Zatopek's always a great spectacle. Like I'm talking about being there live. It's just a great environment and always draws fast times because the fastest athletes want to be there for a 10K. My next question you actually kind of just answered, but there's the junior event, the 3000. What's the criteria to actually make that? And do you find that actually sort of inspires the juniors to sort of go down there and see these opens in the 10K to go, you know what, one day I'd love to also run that 10K.
Yeah, it's absolutely an event every junior puts a circle around. To win a Dica Stella or an Ondiki 3K, the under 20 titles,
20, yeah.
under 20 races, it's something. If you look through the list of all the winners, there's some big names there of athletes that have gone on to do some pretty special things. So it's certainly I would say in terms of prestige for junior races, it's got to be right up there. So and the bonus of that is you're a part of a special night with the 10,000s on as well. So yeah, it's yeah, I guess to get on the start line, you've got to run a time that gets you in the door. So you nominate. They'll often have an A and a B race. I've even seen people podium from the B race. It's quite funny. Often
Yeah,
the A
right.
race muck around a little bit too much, and
Yes,
yeah,
yeah.
the B race has gone a bit quicker. So you obviously if your time's fast enough, get yourself in the A race and away you go. It varies year to year. You see everything from some super quick races where everyone's running PBs, and other years where they stack it up, and it's a tactical affair. So obviously the last couple of years it's been sponsored by On. So it's been, and some of the stuff that the On do with their On night track nights around the world has been really exciting. I know this year it's not. It's back to kind of, I guess, the regular format that we all knew, and it'll still be an exciting night. The running will entertain everyone. So yeah, looking forward to seeing what happens this year.
Oh, so pumped for it. Yeah, highly recommend tuning into it. Usually it's somewhere online, some live stream, YouTube, something like that. So recommend it to everyone.
Absolutely.
Brisbane Athletics, mate, let's get into it in detail. I've got plenty of time here sitting here for a Sunday arvo. So I sort of just want to get you to open up about like details about how it works within the week, how many sort of numbers you have come through there. But also if we wind the clock back, like when you started, has that, you sort of mentioned it earlier, I think, Jaden, but that philosophy and sort of outlook you have with the kids there for Brisbane Athletics, what did that initially look like? And to this day, almost 10 years later.
I guess it's like I said, it started a little bit over 10 years ago, and it really I may have mentioned this last time when we spoke, but it started with two athletes in 2012, 2013, somewhere around
Oh,
there,
that early.
and
Yeah, right.
they were both sprinters. They were 400-meter runners, and so for the first 4 or 5 years of my coaching journey, I was predominantly a sprints coach. And that was purely due to opportunity and where I was working. And but it was the best thing that could have happened for me because look, I went away and got out of my comfort zone and learned and studied and watched other people. The easy thing for me was to do to coach with what I'd always done and distance running. And but yeah, this opportunity presented itself, and it made me such a more well-rounded coach and more knowledgeable. And I look to today, some of my best coaching mates are sprint coaches that I met during that period. So yeah, was fortunate enough to have some success there with a few athletes before I guess things started picking up on the distance side of things. And it was yeah, just a very organic process, I guess through working in schools and word of mouth, and hopefully just doing a good job in providing I guess a real team environment. That's the big thing. It's all about a team. The experience that these kids get to have through this sport, particularly in their time at school, I think helps form some of their best friendships. It helps them develop confidence as a young person, both in who they are and through sport. It's a lot of these families become great friends that you continue to know for many years after their kids stop running. And yeah, so I guess just building a community, of people that are really like-minded, similar goals, similar passions. So for me, I think that's is the priority number one. Obviously there's a performance aspect to it as well. So for those that are pretty driven, I'm aspirational as a coach to work with athletes that want to be the best they can be. And that doesn't mean necessarily as well that everyone I coach is trying to go to a world champs or a world juniors or anything like that. A lot of the athletes that I work with are kids that are at their school and just want to do the best they can and make a Met North team or get to their first state or national title or whatever it might be. And I think that's probably the beauty of the squad is the balance of all those different kids that are in it. And they all help each other. I get so much joy and respect these kids that are willing to come to training, and they're running next to a kid that might be the national champion who's blowing their doors off, but they turn up every day, every rep, and do their best. And I think another great thing is just the pathway that we've created. So there's for every 13 or 14 year old there's a 15 or 16, 17 year old, and then there's the 18, 19s, and then there's my older athletes. So it's a highly aspirational pathway where they learn from each other, they challenge each other, they support each other. They know that for a lot of them, they're going to get on the start line and be racing each other. You look at a GPS race or a state title around here, it's often the kids are going to be competing for those podium finishes, but they're also working together at training and best mates. And I think that's something that I love that they see. Once they get on the race line, that's them. That's their moment. But they do know that they're better together. And they know that, hey, today that was his day, and we celebrate that and we go again, and you pick up your mate when their day may not have gone as well as what they'd liked. So that's probably the thing I'm the most proud of is being able to hopefully play a positive part in these kids kind of growing up and using running as a vessel to give them positive experiences, and that can take so many shapes or forms. So Yeah, I guess that's probably, I guess, the philosophy behind the group and its purpose. Bricks and mortar, we have a junior and a senior group. So yeah, our main training days are the traditional Tuesday, Thursday afternoon, Saturday morning. We have a Monday afternoon session that's more of an easy run and some speed development and strength work. And for our steeplechasers, we'll do some hurdle technical stuff on that day. But yeah, on those main training days on a Tuesday, Thursday, the juniors train first from 4:30 to 6 o'clock, and then my senior group starts training at 5:15, which means they can start doing their jog. I don't need to hold their hand for that. And when I finish with the younger group, they're into their drills, and we can kind of get prepared for their session. So, we're fortunate that we work out of UQ. It's such an amazing facility. You've got the track, you've got the trail, you've got grass fields, you've got hilly loops, you've got the road. There's every surface you need. So, very fortunate for that setup.
Yes, are your athletes close enough in ability that you don't have to sort of differentiate too much across sessions? Like for a lot of adult coaches who have athletes running marathons like 4 or 5 hours long to someone running 3 hours, that's quite a challenge. But do you have those challenges too in your coaching and to any capacity? Obviously, of course, they're different in ability, but is the range that grand?
I'm certainly a coach that comes in and we you've got so many different factors. You've got their age, the distance they're competing in, their running age, how long have they run for, their ability, their load of other sports, how often you see them each week. There's all these different factors to consider. So I have to be kind of over those things. When you come to a session, if you're going to walk into one of our sessions, there's probably going to at least five or six different things going on at every session. And those things that will be different are the actual session. So there's going to be, potentially within a group, the people that are only got to run 3 or 4K versus 6K. So volume's a factor. There'll be length of the rep, the recovery time, your middle distance athletes versus your longer distance athletes. You're going to see a lot of variation in that regard. And then you've got factors, you get onto the track and, you're coaching a more, so that you might have an 800 runner who's more 400, 800, and you have one that's more aerobically based. And whilst they're training for the same event, their training can, one day away, 1 or 2 days a week may look the same, but there might be differentiation on that other day. It's very, very different. Our training is, I like to keep things fairly simple, dynamic. So the sessions will vary in out in they look at it and go, oh wow, that's a little bit different to what we did some last week or the week before, but the physiology of it and the benefits they're getting are pretty similar, but they don't. We'll benchmark at the right time so that they can get some sort of a reference point. We'll do those sessions again, but I don't like to do it too often because I think that you turn up and it's hot or it's tired or you had exams, you didn't sleep well, and they they're just I don't want them constantly comparing to what they may have done previously. We know if we're doing the right work, consistency is the main thing. So doesn't need to be flashy. There's never re we rarely do those big, hard kind of workouts. You want to try and save your best running for race day. I think often runners can leave some of their best work on the training track. So, I guess that's a little bit about how we operate and who we are.
Yeah, so I guess if we look at the week though, for an individual, what sort of weekly mileage are they doing? Again, it's quite different to an adult. Kids can't withstand hundreds of kilometers per week. So from your higher end to lower end, what does that look like?
Yeah, again, it's you can have two athletes that are the same age competing in the same event doing very different load. I think running age is one of those things. So how long have they been running for? Is it their main sport? And what's their other training load like?
Yeah.
We use a training platform called Final Surge, so I'm able to monitor what they do. So I mean, technology's great these days. They finish their session, the watch beeps, it goes to Strava, and then it appears on Final Surge instantly. So I'm able to review and monitor kind of what they're doing. It's very varied to answer that question, and there's so many different variables. You look at Take a couple of years ago, two athletes that you'd know, one being Charlie Moore and the other being Seth Marnie. You know, when they were 16, 17, at that point, they're racing each other head to head. But Charlie wasn't as developed as much yet. He hadn't, his running age was younger. Seth was a little bit further advanced. So he was running further. He was probably running 15, 20K a week further than what Charlie was. But I remember having that conversation with Charlie at the time, being like, oh, you know, he's thinking, well, do I need to start doing more? Should my long run be longer? And I said, in time, you just got to understand that you're at a different point right now, and gradually over time that will level out.
Yeah, that's hard too, isn't it? Because someone I know, Charlie, too, he's an athlete, definitely when he's older, will go to the longer events and like will be able to hold good mileage.
And it's a long journey for some. Some are going to go on with it. Some, their time will be in school. So look, it's I think now it's also, I think that you don't just look at load too. I think that's one thing people always like, how far did you run the week? Yeah, but it's also relative to, well, how hard did you run this week? What were your intensities? You know, so if you run 60K in the week and 45, 50 of it's just jogging around, well, the intensity's low and it's but if you run maybe 30 or 40K and everything, you know, you're an athlete that goes and does a hard session every day. Well, I'd be more concerned about the intensities of what you're doing rather than the overall load. So I think there's different factors you have to look at. It's not a one size fits all. There's so many things you have to navigate as a young athlete. And then but you have the same challenges with the senior athletes I work with. You know, Jared Michaela, who's 27 now, and you know, just running his first world champs. He's qualified for Com Games next year, Euro champs. You know, I've been coaching him for 7 or 8 years now, and we're still working on things and changing things. You know, he's now doing, we've just started doing his first double day. So, whereas traditionally he hasn't been able to handle that loading. You know, and in those earlier years, from probably 20 to 23, trying to figure out what a week and a structure would look like. You know, he was certainly a more speed-based 800-meter runner, and we had to work on his aerobic side of things. But what was the balance? Where's that tipping point of working on your weaknesses versus amplifying your strengths and finding that right balance? And so, yeah, as much as there's things you got to look at from a junior perspective, there's the same and different challenges as you're starting to work as a senior athlete. So yeah, plenty of things to consider when you're trying to work out week to week. But if you look, again, they're young. If you keep it fun, they want to be there, they're enjoying it, you don't do too much, and you keep them coming back, and you for the most part can try to avoid injuries, which you know, sometimes these things happen. I think you've got an environment where kids are going to improve. It's never a linear process. But yeah, if they're having a good time and they're asking mum and dad to be there, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, and speaking of fun and numbers, like how many would you have there within one session? But how many, like if you included the runners right now and past runners, ha have you coached, do you think, over the years?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, look, I often reflect back on that, and it's amazing when you think about how many different kids you've and athletes that you've gotten to work with, and some of those journeys. I sent a message before to one of my guys, Angus Brown, who's just finished high school at State High. And so Angus is 17, and great kid, super smart kid, pilot. I've coached Angus since he was 10, and I sent a photo of him when he was 11 years old at UQ, and we're kind of doing a high five, and he was tiny. He was a really little kid. But it's, you look back at that, and just that one journey with that one kid and family and the things that you've got to share, and you times that by hundreds, right? And every journey's different. You have ones like that where you've taken them through primary school to senior school and beyond, and Angus is going to keep running. And you have some that join you later in the journey at 15, 16, 17. And you share a different experience with them, and you start coaching them from a different point, right? They've done other things, and you may be doing something similar, but you may need to totally rewire and retrain them to think differently. I've probably gone a little bit off topic there, but yeah, it's a lot of people over a long period of time. Right now, with that junior senior split, the way we work it is all of the basically all the girls train at the in the earlier time slot with my boys that are about 15 and down, which works well in terms of pace and the distances that they run, right? So their cross country distances are similar, which reflects then the sessions they're able to do, and keeps things age relevant and whatnot. So and then my older group is generally, you know, 15, 16-year-old boys up, and then and my open athletes. So you know, yeah, and again, you have a core group that running's their thing, right? This is my love, this is my number one sport and my priority throughout the year. So you'll have those regulars that are always turning up, and then you have other kids that are a little bit more seasonal. They're school based. They've got touch football or triathlon or basketball or some different sport, you know, these terms that will take some of that time away, and that's great. That's fine. They can still be a part of what we do, and you plan for what their goals are. So look, I would say probably at a, you know, a junior to senior session, you're probably looking at about, you know, 25 to 30 athletes at each of those sessions. They're very self-sufficient. They're very, you know, we have a system. You know, they know how to warm up. They know how to do these things. And particularly with the older ones, if they're not doing the right things, well, you know, ultimately they're hurting themselves. You know, so you know, if they're not warming up properly, and you know, they're not doing their activation, they're not doing their drills and preparing for what they're about to do. The training sessions, again, I'm going to go off on different tangents here, but the training session they do is only one small component of it. Yeah, now I was hopeless at these things as a kid. All the other little things around that make you such a better athlete. So you know, you hope that you're educating them to take those things a little bit more seriously. If they have those goals and they want to run that well, you hope that they're also accountable to each other. So that's another big thing. I think we create accountability
Yes.
within the group. And if you're not, you'll probably get found out.
Yeah, definitely. And I know a lot of, like, you look back at this time and you succumb with fondness of the group and the engagement, I guess, you're trying to create within it for running. But what individual achievements and group achievements come to mind? Like, it's probably hard as a group from BA to like, you're not usually ranked in event, but any events that stand out for you where, like, you had a great depth in results or individually, like I think of someone like Seth Marnie, who's a BBC old boy who I think still has that 3,000 and 1,500 record in the Opens, doesn't he?
I mean, Seth is one athlete that obviously stands out from the journey that he had. Again, an athlete I coached since he was 11 years old. And I mean, his journey alone, he's one of those athletes that, you know, made a Queensland team when he was 11. And yeah, it's hard to do you when you're, you know, he was always there or thereabouts, and you know, winning races all through high school, and then the crescendo of his final year at school to break the open 3K and 1500 meter record in one night. The 1500 meter record was one that had been around for a long time, pretty historic record, and to break it by a fair margin. And he broke Sprotty's record, who was also from our group, who'd broken Kai Robinson's record, who'd broken John Chandler's record, who was a guy that I run with. So the history of the sport, I love it. Yeah, it's the yeah, look, to single out, there's been so many great athletes and so many great performances. I you know, Lachie Moore, who, you know, who just qualified for World Cross Country Champs. That's the eighth athlete from our group to make a World Crossy Champs. We've had, you know, that and more go to World Juniors. There's too many, but I equally love. I have a story of a kid that I coached at St. Aidan's, who was my vice captain there, and she's a 230, 800 meter girl. And I tell the story to everyone on the journey of when I coached her from a 14-year-old, 13, 14-year-old to 17-year-old. She's not a like a name that anyone knows, but it's, yeah, it's there's just moments in every kid. But yeah, from the performance end, I just like to think that we get it right when it matters. That's what I'll always tell the kids, is that not always, but for the most part, we're going to try, and you can't be up always. We're not always going to be prepared to run your best at every event. But the ones that matter the most for you will have you ready and give you the best chance to do as well as you want. And I'd like to think that that's what we do really well. And you know, yeah, it's from that on that performance end of the matrix, for me, it's getting kids to world juniors, world under 20s for cross and on the track, and trying to win GPS titles, state and national events, and now working into the open space with a couple of the athletes I've got and Jared, who I've mentioned, and getting to coach at a world championships and be in Europe and have these experiences. So I could sit here and rattle off stories for hours about some of the guys that I've coached and the girls. And it's awesome to be able to have the opportunity to work with such good people. And just the trips away and the journeys that you get to have with them. And it's awesome. It keeps you young, it keeps you excited, it keeps your competitive energy burning, and I love it. It's I'm truly thankful that I get to work in something that I'm so passionate about, and get to share a part of what they get to do.
Yeah, so moving forward now, Jaden, for you specifically for the group, but also how the external things may be changing. AI is a massive part of everything now, isn't it? Even coming into to running coaching, I'm not sure if that's affecting the student or children coaching as much as adults, but a lot of athletes now ChatGPT-ing things. But also, just from a school point of view, you feel like athletics in school is going to change in some capacity, maybe not, but. What are you going to do in the next sort of two, five, even right down the track? What are you looking forward to changing, but also keeping the same? That's also important too, that if we keep things the same, then we can be reliable, I guess, and build that integrity within a group.
Yeah, that's look, it's great question, and look, I kind of touched on it before. I'm a student of the sport. I love the history. I love being connected with our past, looking at what people did in the 50s, 60s, like through the decades and the different generations and the evolution of the sport. And the same goes for like my work at the school. I love the kids that I work with at school, being connected with the athletes that came before them, the history of the school, the history of the program, and what the GPS means. So I look at the sport as a whole. I look at the environments I work in, and I really like to stay connected to what's come before us in the past, but balancing it with you've got to evolve. You've got to stay abreast of the new ways, the new things that are happening. And like you mentioned, AI, which is some of the stuff that's happening is above my intellect level. But look, I think again, it has its place. But I guess the space I work in, it's like a Google function, AI, whatever. You can look up whatever you want, but how do you implement it? How do you manage?
And environment.
And the environment that you operate in. Anyone can look up what session they might need to do for a marathon. But who's guiding you? Who's giving you the feedback? Who are the eyes on you? Who's talking to you? Who's instilling a confidence in you and a belief? AI ain't doing that. So you can learn things, and it's a great tool to increase your knowledge and awareness of things. But it ain't replacing the beauty of sport and the relationships that exist. And so I think it's just part of the evolution. And like I mentioned earlier, you have to keep learning. We all do, in any profession. This is not just coaching as well. So I think the moment you become stagnant and stale and you just keep turning up and doing the same thing, you'll get left behind. You keep doing a lot of the same things. You want consistency, you want fluidity, you want you the but there's that part of growing as well. So I think it's the sport's in an exciting place. You look at the talent coming through in this country. I mean, globally, but just this country alone,
Yeah, it's
and the
crazy.
narrative. The narrative's changing on what athletes are possible, what they can possibly do, and at what age too. I mean, you look at Cam Myers; he's only still 19. He set multiple world records. You look at Peyton Craig, and then you look at the guys below them as well. Though now it's like, oh. Also, I can run 144. I can run 329 as a junior. So now, you get a Danny Williams who runs 145 as the next junior coming through. You get Tate Van Kamp coming through
I
doing what
was about to
he's
say his
doing.
name. Yeah.
So it inspires that next kid to believe, no, I can do that. So yeah, it's a super exciting place to be, and guys like Gao Gao, I mean, he's on the global level. What he's erupted to be, his personality, his ability. I mean, who knows where he's going to get to the ceiling? We don't know where it's at, but it's an excitement for the sport, and I mean, for that on even a micro level, looking at the GPS. I mean, Gao at GPS this year. To have him at a schoolboy meet and the crowd and the kids that were watching, younger kids running alongside wanting autographs and photos, and it's awesome. It's so exciting. But again, I think it's how do we then, we live in the bubble of the sport. We love it. So of course we're in tune with everything that's going on. But I still think there's a little bit of a chasm where the general community interacts with it. But then disconnects because it's not available to them. It's a bit cliche, but every 4 years, it's probably the number one sport at the Olympics. It's getting more traction, starting to. But I guess it's continuing to increase the visibility of the sport. The road stuff is fine. Park runs help with the boom there, and everyone knows what a 5K is. And run clubs are at every second corner. They're everywhere, and it's awesome. The running booms. Well and truly in effect, but I guess it's then connecting that elite level of the sport with the general public more often.
Yeah, well, mate, thanks for your time today. An hour and almost 15 minutes have passed since we started the conversation. You can see how, like, it's so easy to talk
Absolutely.
for too long almost. I try and get these to an hour where I can, but I'm always finding myself with guests like yourself getting to and past an hour. But yeah, if you're looking to make contact with Jaden, that Instagram page is probably a good spot to start, isn't it, Jaden? It's really booming now, almost 5,000 followers. For an athletics coaching group, like that's seriously good. You've done well with the following, which always helps to a degree. So if you're looking, I guess probably mainly as a parent or a kid who's happened to tune into this, I don't get as many listeners who are kids as adults, but yeah, make contact with Jaden, and particularly a lot of your runners would come from that area, but all over Brisbane really, because it's the environment that they're seeking out, and the coaching, of course.
Yeah, no, thanks. I really appreciate it. Like you just said, mate, I could sit here and ramble on for another couple of hours and go back and forth and look, really, really appreciate the opportunity to come on here and also to see your passion and what you're doing in the sport and with the podcast and talking to so many different people, mate. It's great. More people we have doing stuff like this, the better off we all are.
Yeah, there's so many now. So hopefully the podcast from 3 years ago still has some merit out there in the listener community, running community. So thanks again, Jaden. And normally I chat off air to the guests for a little bit, but I've got a bowls thing for kindy for my son to head to in half an hour. So I've got to get kids
Oh,
ready.
well, mate, warm up bowl. Is it 10 pin or lawn bowls?
Nah, lawn bowls. Trying to explain to my son what that means. He's done 10 pin bowling, but not lawn bowls.
Make sure he gets the weight the right way and it doesn't go off in the wrong direction, all right?
Yeah, try and hit the ball out of the way like 10 pins.
Awesome, mate.
Thanks,
Enjoy
mate.
and mate, thanks again.
Cheers. See ya. If you're looking for a little bit more guidance and coaching for 2025 and 26, touch base on the Local Legend in Running Instagram page, and happy to talk further to you. I coach a number of athletes on their way to races such as 10K, half marathons, and marathon events. Welcome.